Today I'll be reading John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going.
That's one of the most familiar passages that we have. We love it because it has so much hope in it, so much encouragement there. I'd like for us to start where Davis left off at verse 5 and look at the rest of this chapter. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 5. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do works that I do. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you in yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live with you, and you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and that you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go hence. We love this chapter because of the great promises in it. We love this chapter because of the great comfort that we receive from it. And we love this chapter because we know, we feel a certain kinship with these men as they huddle around Jesus, because they know about trouble, and they know trouble is all around them. They have seen the looks that the rulers of the Jews are giving towards them. They see that they're not welcome in the temple anymore. They see that they've heard the rumors of the plots that are there to get rid of him. They know everyone is looking back and forth. They've noticed an intensity in the teaching of Jesus, and they notice that there's lots going on, and it looks like trouble. And Jesus acknowledges that. He tells them not to be troubled, even though they are troubled. He tells them not to be afraid, even though they are afraid. I feel a little kin to them, don't you? I mean, what kind of a world is it where kids kill each other? What kind of a world is it where you just really don't know if what you're hearing is true or not? What kind of a world is it where you really have to think a long time, and then you know I'm probably not making the right plan or the right investment because there's troubles in finances, there's troubles with crazy people that have atomic weapons and all of this stuff going on and all of these scandals and all of this trouble. And add to it, it's hard to get out of bed. Add to it, don't even think about tying your shoes. Add to it, disease, difficulties. Add to it that sometimes even our own families, a place that should be a place of security and warmth and comfort and safety, is not what it was. You know about troubles, don't you? You know what we worry about. You know what we think about. You wonder about, do I buy some more bullets? Do I buy some more beans? Do I put up an alarm at my house? Do I move to the country? Do I move to an apartment? What do I do? Some of these words are directly made to the apostles, and he makes some promises here that are unique to them. He's about to empower these men with not only writing scripture, but establishing churches, and he's telling them, I'm going to give you all the help you need. He's going to give them perfect recall. He doesn't promise us that. He's going to give them insight into the mysteries of the gospel. He doesn't promise us that without study. He even tells them in another place that they won't even have to study. They just start talking and the words will come out right. He tells them he'll back every play they make. So if Peter and John see a man that's lame from birth, they say, get up, he gets up. God, whatever you say. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. I'm going to back you. He doesn't make all those promises to us. He made them to them, but that doesn't mean this chapter isn't very important to us, because we have many things in common with these men, and we have many needs that they have. And as we read this that was written down for us, not for them, if we read this, we see much that can be of help to us. Jesus said, even though there's trouble everywhere, and they are confused, and they are afraid, they shouldn't be. He tells them that they shouldn't be troubled. He says it at the beginning of this chapter, and he says it at the end of the chapter. He says not to be troubled. And he tells them their answer to this trouble is the faith that they need to have in God. He tells them not to be troubled, but to believe in God. When we say believe in God, many times that is a seems like an easy answer. The fact that it's a simple answer doesn't mean that it's easy. Faith is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Trusting God is a very difficult task, but it is possible. Overcoming the troubles in our life is impossible. Saving ourselves is impossible. But trusting God is possible. And that's why he reminds them of this. Being simple doesn't mean that it's easy. He says that you need to understand that faith is the answer. And then he tells them why. The very next thing he said, as Davis just read to us, the very thing next thing he tells them is how this is all going to end. If you believe God, you know that it's going to end well. You know that these men are going to be, well, they're going to be killed in horrible ways. They're going to be imprisoned. They're going to be drugged before councils, and people are going to be mad at them. They're going to have scars all over their bodies. But he said there's a home prepared for you, and you're going to get through it. You're going to be victorious. This is like the promise that God made to Jeremiah when he was saying, everybody hates me. He said, don't worry. I'm going to make your forehead like an iron gate or a bronze gate, and I'm going to make you tough enough to take it, and I'm going to be with you. He said, but I can't do it. He said, yes, you can. You keep running. There's bigger races ahead. There's harder battles ahead for you, but you're going to succeed at it. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. And then he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When it's over with, when it's finished, we win. We win. We win. That the story is not over today. The story is really not only the thing about today is that I don't even have to win. I just have to keep trusting God. That's the thing we have to do. Now, the fact is that he said, that's not easy. But he says, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, he's actually telling them of the gospel. He's telling them there's always been this big problem ever since the people listened to the snake. There's been this big problem that we're separated from God and from our help. And the apparent picture is that I'm on my own, and on my own I fail. But he said, this is in a matter of hours from now, this is all going to change because Christ has come to this earth, and when he makes this sacrifice, the veil in the temple will be torn. Why are all those curtains and gates and priests and everybody standing around that temple? You can't get this close to God anymore, but not now. Because I go to prepare a place for you. I go to take care of the problem that we have with sin. I go to answer the wrath of God, and I'm going and I'm going to do it, and it's going to happen, and you need to trust me on this, he said. You got trouble in this world? You bet. Is it painful? Sure it is. Are we neck deep in problems? That's for sure. Do we lose? Because I go to prepare a place for you. Part of that preparation is not just fixing up a room where I'm going to live forever. What this preparation is I'm going to deal with the problem that was keeping me out of heaven. I'm going to deal with it. The bloods of bulls and goats couldn't do it. Those days of atonement were as if God was putting it all in a big pile out there and not looking at it because he knew that we're going to tend to this. We're going to take care of it. When the true high priest, the great high priest, goes into the presence of God once for all, he's not going in there with a hyssop branch and goat's blood. He's going in there with his own blood, and God will accept that. The wrath of God will be satisfied, and you and me will be saved. Don't be afraid, because fear is the opposite of faith. And what he's calling on them to do, and what they're going to call on us to do in the rest of the New Testament, is to believe God. And so he tells us this. He says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to have access to God, you have it through me because I have it. He says in verse 7 that you'll know God if you know me. This problem that we've had of God being so distant that we don't know anything about him, now we do. Philip even says, show us the Father. And he said, Philip, 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 Have I been with you so long that you don't even recognize me? Don't you know who you're dealing with? Don't you know that Jesus is not just a carpenter and that became a preacher, that he is God in the flesh? John would later say, oh, he said it earlier in this book, but later than when he had this conversation with Jesus, he would say, we beheld his glory. Glory is the only Son of God. We saw him. We read in a class last week in the first chapter of the letter from John, what did he say? That which we beheld, we saw with our eyes, which we touched, which we looked upon, we studied him. We heard his words with our ears. The words of Jesus bounced off our eardrums and appeared in our brain because of that. This is something we are eyewitnesses to. What did you see, John? We saw glory. We saw God. We saw God living and breathing. We saw God in the flesh. We know who he is. Peter would tell us what? This is no made-up thing. This is no divine, clever myth that we've worked up. This, we saw him. I was on the mountain when he was transfigured. I know who I saw. And now Jesus is saying, hang on to that. They're having a little problem because they know who he is, but that's an awful big promise. He said, okay, back up to where you can hang on to. Back up to the thought that you can put your brain around. Back up to what you can believe. You saw me walk on water, didn't you? You saw me feed the multitudes, didn't you? You saw me raise the dead, didn't you? You saw me heal the sick. You were at that mountain when the man with legions of demons ran out. You saw that, didn't you? If you can't believe my words, believe the miracles. And if you know the miracles are true, you know that God's involved in this, don't you? He's trying to give them this thing. He said he wants them to be successful. It didn't mean he wanted them to be rich or famous or that everything they did would work out just the way they wanted it to. He wanted them to get out of this world alive. He wanted them to be successful in this journey that they have to make. And in that area, we have full fellowship with these men. That's what God wants for you. And then he tells us how to do it. He tells us not only believe in God, but pray. He tells them that he is also the way to get word through to God when you pray in his name. I know he didn't promise me that I would have a perfect recall, and he didn't promise you that you would know all the mysteries that are in the universe. He didn't promise you that everything you asked for you would get. But he did promise you you'd win this battle. He did promise you you'd be more than a conqueror. He did promise me peace that passes understanding. He did promise us all the wisdom we will ask for. He did promise us that he would never leave us and never forsake us. He did promise us that on that last day, we are with him. When he comes back, it's for us. He did promise us that. That beats a perfect recall anywhere. The promises that he made are real, and we need to access them. You know how that song we sing, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? Because we don't pray. We don't pray, and so we don't ask. And so we don't ask, we don't get. Or because we don't know God very well, we ask for the wrong stuff, and we don't get. But we have this genuine promise, and what he's asking us to do is hard. It's hard to believe him. It's hard to trust him. It's hard to believe that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. We know God said it. We know we're supposed to say we believe it. But this deal that I'm fighting right now, that don't seem like a very good thing. He didn't say it was good. He said it works together for good. And we have to trust him on this. Look what he says here. In verse 12, he said, believe me. And he also says, and love me. And he also says, and obey me. In verse 15, he says, we have extra help, that the Spirit is not just going to be around keeping an eye on us, that he's going to be in us, in verse 15. In verse 19, he promises us eternal life. In verse 21, he promises the love of God. In verse 23, he promises us fellowship with God, that we can be close to him. In verse 27, he tells us that he promises us peace. In verse 30, he tells us there's going to be trouble in the world. And then he would even say, the ruler of this world is coming. It's as if he's saying, look at him. Doesn't he look like something? Doesn't he look terrifying? And you know he did. You know the disciples backed up when they saw someone that had a really bad demon. You know they were afraid. You know that. You know they didn't pray like they should. You know it all seems bigger than it is. In my backyard, there's doves that come in and eat. And it's kind of interesting that sometimes you have a kind of a bully dove. He says, that hot dog bun is mine. And he fluffs up and he struts up and he really looks tough. And the other doves scurry away and he goes up there and he has his piece of a stale hot dog bun. And I smile because it's a dove. The very nature of the name says he's not that tough. He has to be around weaker creatures to even look like he's tough. He's not a hawk, even. He's certainly not a guy with a pellet gun, you know. But he thinks he's tough. The other day I saw one of my turtles. He wasn't a very big turtle, but another turtle was kind of interested in what he was doing, and he rose up on his tippy toes and stuck his neck out. And what he was saying is, don't even think about it. I'm tough. Well, he isn't tough. If I walked up there, he goes in that shell, you know. He's a turtle. Satan looks really scary to us. And here he is. He's the strong man that holds us captive. He's the one that his tail moves and stars fall from the sky. He's the one that does such horrible things. He came to steal and kill and destroy. He's not just an enemy, he's your enemy. And Jesus says, he has no power over me. He's not God. He calls himself God. He's illegitimate in everything that he does. And he scares us to death because we're not as close to God as we should be. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why wouldn't you be afraid in the valley of the shadow of death? There's lions and tigers and bears, oh my, in there. Why aren't you afraid of that? Why wasn't David? Because his shepherd has a rod and a staff. His shepherd is the strongest thing in that valley. His shepherd is the one that would lay down his life for him. His shepherd is the one that has the power. And that's what he's telling us here. He's saying, don't be afraid. The ruler of this world is coming, but he has no power over me. No power. The cross is not something that Satan came up with to destroy God. He thought that's what was happening. This was God's eternal plan. His eternal plan to save us. This is Jesus going to prepare a place for us. It's a plan. And he says, it's our plan. And you will see. He tells us, I love the Father, and the Father can be trusted. How does that relate in your life? There's trouble everywhere. We know too many doctors. We know too many problems. We shudder when we look at the mailbox. We jump when the phone rings because it's probably bad news. We wish we didn't have as much news coming into our house as we do, because it's just all of that trouble. And on top of that, the truth is some of us won't even be here next year. But he said, let not your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said, trust in me and trust in my Father. Love me and do what I'm asking you to do. I ought to read this every day. Our problem is that we don't know enough. No, we don't know enough, but that's not our problem. Our problem is we don't trust him. We just don't. But we can. We can. Our problem is we don't obey him. But we can. We can do this. Our problem is for some reason we'd rather be afraid than to trust him. But we can trust him. And we can obey him. And it can actually start right now. Won't you come to him while we stand and sing?